From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Cairns is bringing a message entitled, The Spirit of Promise, as he continues his series on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The texts are John 7, 37-39, Acts 1, 4, and 5, and Acts 2, 1, and 2. In addressing this subject, Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing that there is a difference in the work of the Holy Spirit before Pentecost and after Pentecost. Although it is true that the Spirit empowered individuals in the Old Testament, the real fullness of the Spirit had to wait until Christ had finished His work on the cross and was glorified. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, here is the Reverend Colin Mercer, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, reporting that in the UK, a minister quit his church over the gay ordination row.
A Church of Scotland minister has resigned from his pulpit and his entire denomination after the appointment of Sodomite minister Scott Rennie. 39-year-old John McLeod, who served with the Church's World Mission at St. Andrew's Kirk in the Bahamas, tendered his resignation in June. He is the second minister to respond in this way, and for this reason, in recent times. Although the Church authorities initially declined to make any comment on Mr. McLeod's resignation, it is believed that he resigned because of the appointment of Mr. Rennie, the ban on public discussion on human sexuality, and the Church's move away from biblical orthodoxy. No doubt some will pour scorn on Mr. McLeod. They will claim he is overreacting, homophobic, insensitive, even hasty. But let's keep in mind the issue here. The Church of Scotland have acted in a way that contravenes the plain teaching of God's Word. The ultimate standard for all human activity is the Word of God. God sets the rules for the people He created. We are obliged to read those rules and obey them. In the Bible, God has much to say about sodomy. None of it is good. For example, one of the first references to sodomy in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 19. There the vile incident is outlined when the men of Sodom tried to knock down the door of Lot's house so that they could impose their vile lusts on two strangers. This Bible passage delivers a strong indictment on sodomy. The blindness followed by the fire and brimstone out of heaven that fell upon these men who were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, and whose sin was very grievous, speaks for itself. Furthermore, the law of Moses strongly condemns sodomy, demanding the death penalty for those who practiced it. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, Leviticus 20 and verse 13. The prohibition of this practice in the Levitical law is a principle that has not changed. Furthermore, in the New Testament scriptures, we discover that sodomy is still outlawed. Romans chapter 1 delivers a most scathing denunciation of this sin. There in Romans 1, verses 25 through 28, we read these words, "They changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." This passage explains that sodomy is a stage of sexual debauchery reached by a people who deliberately reject God. The further a people depart from the Lord, the greater the incidence of sodomy among them. Again, the Apostle Paul referred to sodomy in his first letter to the Church of Corinth. He made it clear that those who remained effeminate or were abusers of themselves with mankind would not enter heaven, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. The practice of sodomy is again denounced in 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. Anyone who accepts the authority of the Bible must acknowledge sodomy to be both unnatural and sinful, a thoroughly evil practice. That the Church of Scotland, or indeed any church, should endorse such behaviour indicates how serious a departure there is from the Word of God. Such a thing does not happen overnight. In many denominations, the person and work of Christ is questioned. The doctrine of hell is refused. The account of creation is rejected. The relevance of the Ten Commandments is queried. And over a period of time, things change, positions change, until almost anything is excused and accepted. When this happens, a person has a choice to make. Either turn a blind eye to the denial of Scripture, or separate from that church. Paul's advice to Timothy was clear enough. In 2 Timothy 3, in verse 1, he said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." From such turn away. Those are important words in the 21st century. May it please the Lord to open the eyes and minds and hearts of many to see sin for what it really is, and to live holy lives for His honour and His glory, and to stand up for the honour and for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. When a poor sinner comes to Christ and drinks, he gets a full salvation. Because the Lord Jesus followed those words with a glorious promise. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Today I want us to deal very simply, and I emphasize that because we do come to some deep water in places, and I don't want to drown you. I simply want to deal with this as plainly as possible. I want to deal simply with the text and the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. And we will be looking at Acts 1, where Jesus speaks of the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. The promise of the Father which ye have received of me. And its fulfillment in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, God fulfilled the promise in the pouring out of his Spirit upon his people. Now let's look at the basic text in John 7. And remark first and foremost that there is a marked difference in the work of the Holy Spirit before Pentecost and after Pentecost. We have read of the promise of the Spirit that they that believe in Christ would receive. And then we have this statement, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. The word given is italicized because there is no word corresponding to it in the original. It's a very good insertion by our translators. It's as good as any you'll get. But it is simply saying the Holy Spirit was not, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, this is a statement that raises some deep theology and a very important question as to the relation of the Holy Spirit to the saints of God before the Lord Jesus was glorified. In other words, the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Here, those who are what I would call ultra-dispensationalists have a field day. I was reading a book by a European writer of that school, just checking on it yesterday again to make sure my memory wasn't faulty. And he certainly was going to great lengths on this particular topic and pointing out what he believed were essential differences between the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. This is a school that wants us really to believe that in some way the Old Testament saints were saved by keeping the law, whereas the New Testament saints are saved without the keeping of law, purely by grace. This is a school that wants us to cut off from the body of God's church forever men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a school that wants to separate them not only now, but for all eternity. One as a heavenly people, and the other as an earthly people. Two elects, two peoples of God, because of essential differences between them. And according to this school, the Old Testament saints were not regenerated at all by God the Holy Spirit, though they admit that he could fill them and did fill them for periods of time. It will not come as any surprise to people who have listened to me preach a few times to hear me now say that I totally, absolutely, categorically, can I make it any plainer? Disagree with that notion. Absolutely. And without going into very great detail, let me give you something to think about. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, The apostle quotes the psalmist in Psalm 116, and he says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak." Now I want you to get this, the importance, I'm not dealing with the quotation, but with the preamble to it. We, says Paul, have the same spirit of faith as the Old Testament writer of Scripture. Now let's get this very clearly then. We are being told that in the Old Testament, David had the spirit of faith. Not only so, but he had the same spirit as Paul had. So that it begins to look a little strange to deny a real regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in Old Testament believers. Let me state the position very broadly. It's not a theology class, so I'm only going to do it broadly. And here I'm delighted to give almost a quotation from a great Lutheran theologian of some time ago, when he said, "There is no other grace, and there is no other faith by which men were saved in the Old Testament than that grace and that faith by which men are saved in the New Testament." That is a principle of biblical doctrine that I think we have got to get a handle on. Otherwise, we will make shipwreck of what the Bible is teaching. The covenant of grace is the only ground upon which God has ever dealt for salvation with fallen men. There is no other ground but grace upon which man can be saved. Grace flows to us on no other merit but the merit of the obedience and bloodshedding of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to God. There never has been, and there never will be, any other way for a sinner to travel than the way of the cross that leads home. Galatians 3:19, and I'm only going to give you now the very brief exposition of it. I am not going to get into it this morning, for it is one of the most difficult and deep verses in the Bible. But Galatians 3 will teach you that it is the same mediator that God dealt through under the Mosaic economy as he now uses to deal with men in this New Testament period. There never has been any other mediator but the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3. I said I wouldn't preach on it, and neither I will. But let me explain it to you in the simplest possible way. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now A, literally the mediator, is not a mediator of one, but God is one. I dare say that's a verse that perplexes you. Some people want to make it say, you can't have a mediator unless you have two parties. Well, I don't really think God the Holy Spirit talks such trivial nonsense. I mean, even a child would know you don't need a mediator if you've only got one party. You don't need a mediator with yourself. Even a child would know you can't have a go-between unless you've two people at least to go between. So surely that's not what the Holy Ghost is saying. What he is saying, the mediator is not the mediator of one. He is not merely the mediator of one,
either of the promise or of the law, the Mosaic economy. But God is one with the idea of the same, one and the same under both. The mediator is one and the same because God is one and the same throughout all the ages.
The covenant of grace is essentially and substantially the same in all dispensations. For example, the Old Testament saints were justified. You would hardly think that to hear some people preach. They were justified. You read Romans 4. You read Galatians 3. The Old Testament saints were justified. Not only so, they were justified on the very same grounds as you and I are justified. Not only so, they were justified in the very same way, by faith in Jesus Christ, that you and I are justified.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.